When you are a creator without a manager, when I was, you're right, I'm not worth that much. I'm so dumb. I should never talk again.
What was that learning curve like for you?
It's like the Mexican in me is like, you need to know that I can do this. I think once I was like seeing like by the thousands come in, I was like, well, I feel like we're kind of relating on something.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Creator Hub. My name is Lloyd, and every single week we share content to help you level up on your journey as a creator. In today's episode, I interview a creator named Leo Gonzalez. Leo has 2.9 million followers on TikTok, 910,000 followers on Instagram, and this year he won a Streamy Award, which is basically like an Oscar, but for content creators. Leo's even worked with celebrities like George Lopez. And if you didn't think he was a big deal, he signed to an agency named WME, which is one of the largest talent agencies in the world. Leo spoke to me today about how he got his start creating content, how he's been able to grow and build his platform, and most importantly, how he's been able to monetize it all. I really think you'll enjoy this episode, and in just a moment, we'll dive in.
What does a podcast production company do? Where is the industry headed? These are just a few of the questions that podcast founders and experts are answering in a new show from the Podcast Academy and DCP Entertainment. Podcast 360. Company founders and podcast experts will answer three questions about all things podcasting. They'll have just 60 seconds to answer. Join us on Podcast 360 with new episodes every Tuesday. Follow us at DCP Official for show news and updates.
TikTok is the best platform for any creator that wants to monetize their brand. Do you agree with that?
I would say yes.
Okay.
I would.
Why do you feel that way?
You know, I think that their algorithm feels fair. It doesn't feel fair when you're not getting views, but it does feel fair. I mean, you look, it's 1 billion registered users. I think it's fair. And I think I love TikTok a lot because when I first started, they were the first ones that ever felt intentional. Like they right away were like, we want you to be part of this Latino program that we have, and we'll have like people that work here that will work with you on stuff. And so it just felt special. It just felt like, dang, like this is like a big app. I'm this, you know, random person in Reno, and they know me, you know. Just to be known by them. So I don't know, I think that they've done so much work to be intentional, so many different programs to monetize within themselves in their marketplace. I know like the other apps started doing stuff after.
Yeah.
But like, I think it was like TikTok made you feel like, okay, cool. Like as long as I get 10K, then I can join this. And when I get 100K, I can join this. Like it made me feel like I'll get, you know, some rewards on the way.
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. Would you, this is the second question. Would you say that any creator that's like starting should only pick one platform to start on, or that they should be on all platforms?
No, I think that you should be on all. Like for me, I started on TikTok because that's where things were moving.
Yeah.
But soon after I joined Instagram, I think, you know, and I don't know, this is just my voice. It's just me and my, what I felt like. Yeah. I felt like Instagram was like, ooh, algorithm. Okay. This one. What are they doing?
Right.
What are they, you know? And so like, I felt like they, maybe, I don't know if they were inspired. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then trying to do, and you know, I used to do Facebook like, gosh, like 10 years ago. And I just barely started doing them again. And I'm like, I look at that, I'm like, oh, I should have been posting as well because there's still people on there.
Oh, that's interesting.
There's still a lot of life on Facebook, and a lot of life means there's still brand deals there.
Right. When you think about the time you started being a creator in Reno to the time you started, like, I'm assuming at that time you're posting, you're just like, you're creating content just for like entertainment. At what point did you realize like, oh crap, like I can actually start getting like brand deals from this. I should like take this more seriously.
My first little check was for $50 for this like ramen cooker. And I remember like at that time I was working at a TV station, and like Nevada's minimum wage is, you know, I'm from California. And so when I went over there, like their minimum wage at that time was like $9, maybe eight something.
Yeah.
And I was like working at Taco Bell for a little bit and stuff. And then I got this little brand deal, and it was like $50 just to put this on my video.
Yeah.
Rub me this one, you know, so like I was like, I felt good about it. I think after that, I was like, I'm a little ambassador. I'm a little influencer. Like,
can't go everywhere.
Yeah. I was like, y'all endorse it. I think at that point I was like starting to kind of get an idea. And then, I remember I was doing like little stuff for like $100 and stuff like that. And I thought it was crazy because I was like, I'm already doing this anyways. Like, I'm going to do the video anyways. I'm doing it for fun anyway. So like, you're telling me I'm going to make more on this than like a shift at work. Like, and, but then I think once I got to like 600K followers, is when I, went, I decided to like make the jump and move to LA. And it still took like maybe about a month and a half before I got like my first like brand deal with like, you know, a contract.
Yeah.
And that's, but I didn't even come to LA thinking that would happen. I just came to LA thinking like, well, I'll just go off of the TikTok creator fund for a little bit. And only, what was your?
Yeah. It's so funny you just said that.
You used to do OnlyFans?
I can't even tell you about my past. So Leo, the third question I'm going to throw at you. Yeah. This one's kind of crazy.
Okay.
Would you say that the easiest way to grow like a social following is to talk about like viral topics?
Like currently viral?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever done it. Mm-hmm. But things that I like cover are things that are viral, like cultural moments, are things that we all experienced, I think.
Yeah.
And so, but so I think yes and no. I don't think you're limited to that because I've never done it.
Yeah.
But I also see people who do it and they're having great success.
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. I think most of the people that like listen to this podcast are people that like they're part-time creators, meaning they have like a day job, but I think everybody's kind of like aspiring to get to where you are, which is like a full-time creator. And so I think part of what I want to talk about in this combo is just sort of like how you transitioned from like someone that was working a job and creating content to saying like, yo, I'm going to do this full-time, like what that roadmap was. When you were working at the news station in Reno and you started creating content, was there ever any intent that like, oh, this could, I think in like a few years, this could be something, or it was just like, this is a hobby?
It was fully a hobby. I mean, and it's not even something that I even wanted because I really wanted to be a news reporter. I still do. Imagine. I just like, where's with this camera? I still do.
I still do. If you're watching ABC.
And I'm an NBC boy.
Okay.
No, I'm just, you know, whatever. Whoever's hiring PBS, I don't care.
Whoever's going to pay.
I really wanted to be a reporter, and so I was just doing the TikToks just as like a little like, this is funny, this is fun. It like, you know, at that time I had just found like a balance in my life.
Yeah,
I had just gone over a few years of just some rough stuff, and I was like, this is a nice community. If this is it, this is great. I'm just happy to be doing this. I had forgotten how to laugh. I hadn't laughed in a long time.
Yeah.
And so I had no intention. And then I think once I was like seeing like by the thousands come in, I was like, okay, I feel like we're kind of relating on something. We're kind of like, and I was also just celebrating because the pandemic was rough.
Yeah.
For so many people. And I felt so excited whenever I would see like a TikTok user doing a dance with their mom or with their whole family. I was like, I don't know if you would have ever done a video like that.
Right.
If you weren't forced to be locked inside. And I felt like that was like the one thing that was like, that was special that TikTok gave us. It gave us this stage where it's like, oh my gosh, so just everybody can sing, everybody can dance, like everybody can act, everybody has like this talent.
Yeah.
And so I was just like celebrating them, and I was just like, okay, cool. I felt like it was my turn to go on stage and do my little thing. And I think, 6 months into it, I was like, I'm just going to go to LA. I don't know why. I don't know. There's no plan there still.
Right.
There's no, I just like, maybe I could just keep making videos for fun, and maybe I can make enough to pay.
Yeah.
for my apartment, and I was with these two other creators. I wasn't a consumer. I wasn't like, I'm still not like a big, like, I don't really watch YouTube. I don't really know anybody. Yeah. I still watch the news and random little sad shows.
That's really dope, man. And I feel like sometimes I think for a lot of creators, this is like definitely a faith walk. And so much of it is like, you just don't know. Like, it's like, you're just trying to like figure it out as you go. I can't remember if I told you this, but I'm originally from Zimbabwe. And so I think as like immigrants, I think there's like this idea of like, you kind of need a stable job. And just the idea, just saying this out loud, that like, yo, I'm going to leave my stable job at some point to create content. It's just like a crazy idea, bro.
It's crazy.
Yeah. What was that like for you?
It's so irresponsible. You know, like, it's so like, it sucks because there's no guarantee of success. There's no promise. And so it feels like one of those like movies where you're like trying to convince your mom. You know, my mom was like, just come back. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, what are you? And so it just feels in like with my dad, you know, it still is like, my dad still works like in the fields right now in Central California. He still works in agriculture. And he's not the boss, you know? And so for him, it's like, it also makes you feel a little guilty. Cause it's like, I just did this like video.
Yeah.
And I, you know, how you kind of have some like guilt, like it took them so much longer to make this. And, then there's also no like, well now there is with this podcast, but there wasn't a book.
Yeah.
To go off of. And you also like, you also just personally don't know, like, do I have it?
Right.
Like, do I have what it takes? Do I, am I strong enough to do this? Am I even funny enough? Maybe I was funny for 7 months, but like, am I going to sustain humor? Because what if I, you know, you have that feel like, what if I cover everything and now there's no more content, you know? And then you have to kind of like reinvent yourself, and then you're just like, okay, but if I reinvent, like, are they going to still rock with me? Are they going to be like, oh, you fell? You know, it's like, because it's like, now it's like my job now. It's like, if it doesn't work, it's only me. And then at that time when I moved to the apartment, I moved in with two guys who were both LA based. So they were both living with their parents before the apartment. So my thought was always like, well, if we fail, they just got to drive 10 miles back home. If I fail, like, I don't have anywhere to go. Right. I can't go back to Reno. My mom didn't have like her own place.
Yeah.
You know, my dad lives in Mexico, works in Central California, goes back and forth. I don't have any choices.
Yeah.
Like, there's no, I can't be like, hey, Uncle Joe, like, can I stay at your place? I don't have that choice.
Yeah.
It's like, if I don't make it, then, and not make it and like make it, but like, if I don't survive.
Yeah. Like, just to like create a living off of that. Yeah. Do you feel, sometimes like you hear like a lot of people that are like entrepreneurs, maybe they run like e-commerce stores, businesses, whatever it is, like you kind of hear them talk about this pressure of like, yo, needing to create enough money to survive and learning how to manage money and all these different things. What was it kind of for you going from like someone that's like, yo, I'm working a job, to now being a creator, to now getting the chance to do this full time, and now you got to get agents, you're managing money. It's like a whole different kind of thing. What was that learning curve like for you?
You have to do a lot of pretending like you know what things mean, you know, like and it was also like kind of to the point of what you said, where you have this sort of like, it was hard for me to trust because when I first got a manager, I was like, I don't know if I need you.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to give you some of my money.
Right.
But also like, I can already do this. Like and it's like the Mexican in me is like, you need to know that I can do this. I don't need you. Just to be clear, I don't need you.
Right.
Like, I can do this myself. I could be a manager myself to other people, but it just makes more sense for this. But like, if you don't do it better than me, then there's no point of you.
Right.
Because like, you know, part of it is just like that thing where it's like, oh, like that broke like mentality inside. I'm like, oh, if I give you that money, that's a lot of money you're getting. It's a big cut of my stuff. And like, you know, and so that was a big thing. It's just like learning to trust someone and be like, I do need you. You've been doing this for a while. I just got here. So but you know, it's the idea that like I built what I have built by myself, and now you're asking me to hand it over to you.
Right.
And that's like tricky. But then at some point you kind of learn like, well, I should focus on trying to be funny than trying to be in everything.
Yeah.
And you know, so that was a big thing. And just financially, you know, when you go from where you were in Central California and Reno to all of a sudden like seeing like different pricing,
yeah,
you're just like, oh, okay,
it's expensive.
I'm gonna act up a little bit, right, for a little bit, and then be a little irresponsible.
Yeah.
But then, thankfully, I think I was watching other creators,
yeah,
and seeing what I was like, oh my gosh, you have that house, you have this, like, yeah, you made this investment, you have this. So then I'm like, okay, maybe I should like stop like buying lunch for everybody. Like, maybe I should like, because you know, there's also that part of you that's like, well, I do gotta feed like the hood that all came with me.
Yeah,
that
we're exactly
all
with me.
I told them that we would all. So it's like trying to find a balance of like, yeah, we're all gonna eat tonight, but also like, I do got to put some away because right. If I don't, then we're going to eat tonight, but not tomorrow night.
Right. Facts. Yo, that's a really, really, really good point. Part of what I was going to like ask you too is just like, I think it could be confusing what the difference is between an agent, a manager. It's so much different like terminology. I know you work with a team. In what ways do you feel like that team has like helped you? Like, what do you feel like is like the biggest difference between like when you didn't have a team and like now?
I mean, the biggest thing, and you know, one thing that my manager always says to me is like, he's like, if there's something you don't want to do, like I'll be the bad guy. I think that's one of the biggest things for me is that like, I don't want to be like, I think it's awkward.
Yeah.
Especially as a Latino, like I think the Latin community will want something or ask for something. And it's like, I'm down because it's me. And like, yeah. I'm like, yeah. Just, you know?
Yeah.
But then it's like, well, if something just doesn't make sense or something's like, then it's good to have like people who can work on that for me, because I think it's just a tricky line.
Yeah.
It's just a tricky place to be like, yeah, I'll do this for you. Because if I were to just say that, then I would be saying yes to everything.
Yeah.
And then I would be spending I spend a lot of my own money to do stuff that I do.
Yeah.
With like, you know, speaking thing or, you know, some public engagement stuff. It's like, so that's a big thing. You know, having a manager means that I make more than I would have by myself, because when you are a creator without a manager, when I was, it was really rough, because I'd be like, can you pay me this much? And they'd be like, no, we're thinking this. And then me personally, you're right, I'm not worth that much. I'm so dumb. I should never talk again. Yeah, let me just sign that. Yeah, I'll check right. it right
I don't
now.
Even know why I asked for that.
Yeah, that was dumb. Yeah. I just put me in my place. And so having a manager changed that because of their negotiators and their lawyer stuff. And so that changed that. But also then when you get the agency, then I feel like then it becomes a bigger price and their lawyers are a little more like,
yeah,
he's worth this. And I'm in the back like, thank you. and you know, with agents, like they were able to, right when I signed, I was able to book a show and have way just more opportunity to do stuff that I really want to do. And so now the team is just very like, I just feel good to have like people that work on specifically scripted, specifically unscripted, and you know, touring and public stuff. And
yo, that's stuff so like that. Dope. And
it makes you act up a little bit sometimes.
Yeah. Just like, I'm that guy.
No, I don't smoke.
Nah, I got you. I feel like you're a very funny person and your content is really good. Sometimes it feels like to me that there's people that have like great content, but they still just aren't successful on social media. Mm. And it makes me wonder if there are like other things that you feel like you have to, like, do you feel like there are things specifically you do on TikTok, whether it's hashtags or like the technicality of posting on TikTok that helps you succeed?
You're right. There are so many people that I see that I just am like, how do you not have a million yet? You're so funny. You know, there's some people that I'm a big fan of that I've been following for years, and you know, I'm like, I don't know what you have to do. In the beginning, I used hashtags maybe for like, probably not even the first full year. I don't like hashtags. I think they're ugly. I think they're I like my posts to be very aesthetic, like, no, maybe, but you know, I don't know. I'm sure they are helpful. I've tried to stick to one thing that one of my friends told me early on was like, he's like, just try to post at the same time every day in the algorithm. This is just us, like, assuming.
Yeah.
This isn't, like, proven or anything per se, but it felt like it worked. It's just, like, just post every day at the same time so that the algorithm expects it. Like,
yeah.
It expects, like, you are, like, that, like, it's a stable,
yeah,
orderly thing. It's always going to come at this time, and your followers will also expect it.
Yeah.
And so I tried to do that, and I think early on TikTok, what I saw a big influx of followers come from is I would go live a lot. Because when you go live, right after you go live, a lot of the times one of your videos will be there.
Gotcha.
On the For You page right after someone watched you for a little bit, and now they're gone, and now they'll follow you or like that video and then keep growing. So lives were really strong for me in the beginning, because I remember getting like 500 followers in a 30-minute live,
and
I just keep trying to do that. I don't do lives that much anymore because I got a little more sensitive as time went on.
You're like, yeah, this is not for me anymore. Talk to, it's in the comments to my people. But do you edit your own videos, or are you at the point where you feel like, hey, like I at this point can only afford to be the talent, and then somebody else can edit it? And
no, I can't afford for people to edit. I can afford myself to edit it. Okay. I have a few photographers. One of them is my primary one, Robert, who films me most of the time.
Yeah.
That it's like at least a like SLR video, unless it's like just like something on my iPhone. Then that's whoever's with me. But I edit everything, just because I think the editing is a big part of the comedy. Where it's a jump cut, a nice audio, smooth audio, and Robert is learning how I edit, but he's not there yet.
Yeah, he's getting there.
We're working on it.
Yeah, I love that. I feel like, Leo, part of like why we're creators is to get like bigger opportunities, right? So it's like whether it's creating content so that we do get to show up on the red carpet or on a comedy tour. But sometimes a lot of these like opportunities we get, they're either bigger or they're just different. So with you being on like the red carpet, for instance, I don't know how many times like you've been on the red carpet, but like how do you, some of these different experiences that were bigger opportunities that we're hoping for, I think can feel a bit scary because it's not posting content. It's different than what we do on a daily basis. How do you sort of handle some of these larger opportunities that are like outside of your space? Like I saw you were on, were you on a tour? You were in Texas recently, right?
I was in Texas. That was just for a concert.
Okay, cool.
I only make TikToks to go to concerts.
Yeah.
Like, that's all I... Like,
right.
Yeah. So
that's the whole game plan. I like that.
Yeah. I try to... in the beginning, because when you first get invited, I think my first premiere that I ever went to was... it was a cartoon movie 2 years ago. It was... Tori Kelly was a voice. Oh, the one with the big elephant, the pick me elephant, the singing. Oh, Sing. Maybe Sing too, I think. Uh-huh. That was my first one. And I remember just like walking on that one, and like I didn't know that we were doing the carpet.
Yeah.
It was like me and my four housemates from the content house I used to be in. And I remember I was like, oh my God, they're all shouting my name. I didn't hear that.
Right. What
was that?
Say it again.
Well, Leo? So like that, like you get really excited and it's like really cool and stuff. And so I kind of rode that wave for a little bit, but then after a while I was like, this is taking time away from videos. This is taking time away from, if I keep trying to feel cool, then my relevancy is going to go down and then I'm not going to feel cool later because I'm not going to get invited. So let me just say no to red carpets for a while.
Yeah.
While I lock myself in and write and edit, because then there's no point.
Yeah.
And so that's been one thing that I've been trying to learn, is just like a nice balance of like, show up to some stuff, network sometimes, make friends sometimes, but I have to show for my audience because at some point they expect it.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're like, all right, where are you at? Like, right. It's Tuesday.
Right.
Make me laugh. It's like... And so I do have to try to be like, I can't go to everything. And
yeah.
I can't, and I am, except for concerts, so I don't care.
Concerts, that, you got to go to those.
I'm going to go to a concert, whether I post a video that day or not.
Yeah. What's like your process for creating content? I know like some of your content is like scripted. So like, how does something go from idea to like being published?
It's just something, if I witness something and you know, if I go to the bank with a friend and I hear someone say something, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so funny because people do that, you know, or grocery store or something. I know we just shot one last night at a grocery store. And so I'll go home and I'll write it, kind of just like, you know, it'll still be kind of improv a little bit, a little ad-lib stuff. But there's some stuff where I'm like, I need to make sure that this is in it. Because there's nothing worse than posting a video and like someone commenting like, oh, you should have said this. And I'm like, oh, that was so good.
Right.
I should have like let it marinate a little longer.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's sometimes that like I'll have like a content day where I'll have like Robert and we'll spend like 10 hours, 12 hours together and we'll try to shoot like 5 to 9 videos. And whether it's me and like one or two of my friends or whether it's like a collab with like other creators, and we shoot and then come back home, put it on my computer and I'll edit everything that night and just put in my draft. So it's like this one for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And it's kind of like I don't have a lot of drafts because I can't keep up with like I would love to have like 30 videos all the time, you know, but sometimes it's like that's rough. It's rough. I can't think of stuff fast enough.
Right, I feel you. My drafts are always literally less than 3. I need to like get it up, but yeah.
Some people got like 40 drafts. I know. Like, but those drafts.
Yeah. Got to get jiggy with it. Which I get because I feel like I saw a lady. She had, I think it was probably close to like 75. And it's like short like ideas, but it's still content. Like it's still postable.
Yeah.
So I get that.
That's a luxury. Like the people that are able to post everything, it must be nice to like be good looking.
Right. Just don't have to worry about what you're wearing or anything. Yeah. Leo, this next question, you don't have to answer this one. You get a pass on this
one. I know. Imagine you're like, are you okay? And that's the question.
So are you at liberty to say the most you've ever made from like a brand deal? You don't have to answer it. You get I forgot what it's called. A plead the fifth.
I think we're still rolling.
You froze.
let me see. I think the most is probably like 25K.
That's one brand deal, 25K. Yeah. That's insane.
And I'm only saying that for creators. Nobody else watch this. Just creators watch this.
Yeah. They'll get inspired.
Because, and I just say that for educational purposes because it helps keep driving you because it's so beneficial to if you're someone who is a creator and you already love making content, you love making videos, then it's like, okay, cool. Like this gets to be my actual job. And to think about like that first brand thing or that first, you know, video I made for like the little ramen cooker, $50. And thinking about like the road there, it wasn't an easy road. It was a long struggle, emotional, super depressing, anxious, busy road. But when you get there, then you're like, okay, I feel like God had always written this and now I can rest in that and continue working for more.
Yeah.
For more of that.
Yeah. That's insane. That's a lot of freaking money. That is wild.
Yeah, but they're not all like that.
Yeah,
I got an offer today that was nothing like that.
Yeah, and so when
but I took it,
every dollar counts. So like when you talk to like brands, I'm assuming because you have a team, your team can just look at all these opportunities and they just share them with you, and you say yes, no, yes, no, yes, no.
Yeah, I don't say a lot of no's, but yeah, they'll look at, and I mean for a while. Right now, it's been a little bit of like a downtime, so it hasn't been a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, and they'll tell me like if they what they feel about it, if there's something that maybe I, you know, because of course there's like, you know, for example, if it's like a soda, you know, then it's like, do we want to do that? If there's like, maybe we'll wait a few months and see if we get a bigger offer from a different soda or a different snack.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, I'm like, yeah, you're right. We can wait for something. Or sometimes I'm like, bro, shut up. Right? Let me send
close
the contract. Close that deal.
Right.
You know. So yeah, but we always talk about it.
Yeah.
Because it's different. It's just.
Yeah.
You know, nothing that I trained for or learned about before this, and now I just have to. You know, when they send an offer like that, I gotta be. Yeah. Right. We'll look into it. We'll talk about it.
Yeah. We'll think about it. You know,
like playing hard to get.
Right.
Like, come on, you're hard to want.
Are there any red flags though? Are there any times where a brand reaches out and you're like, they did this, so this is like, I already know this is not going to be a good fit.
Something that they do, or they?
Yeah.
You know, there's one company.
But look, it says it
called,
all.
Nah. No, there's some brands that, like, they say, there's certain language that some companies say that it's like, nah.
Yeah.
One thing that is a big, like, thing that I don't care for that people do or companies do is when they try to be your savior. I hate savior. That's one thing that when I got to LA and people were like, I can do this for you, I'm like, I don't care. Like, yeah. I don't care what you can do.
Right.
I'm happy for you that you are so rich and this, but like, I don't care. Like, if you're nice, then we can be friends.
Right.
If you're kind, we can be friends. But I don't want you to come in here and be like, do this and then this will happen for you. Like, I will make, you know. And so when a brand comes in and like makes like a promise, like, you don't know that.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't know if you can do that.
Yeah.
Let's just start with the video.
Right.
And we'll be in our talking phase. And then at some point, we'll be like, what are we?
What are we? We'll figure it out. Yeah. Leo, I want to like end with one last question, because I think part of why I was excited to chat with you is because I think like your story is very inspiring. Specifically, it's like somebody that like aspires to be like a full-time creator at some point. If you were looking at like your younger self when you were starting TikTok, what advice would you give yourself?
The advice I would give myself would be just keep doing what you are doing. It's doing more for you than you think. It's doing a lot of things for different people. For the ones that are watching, hopefully it's making them chuckle. It's gonna do good for you in the future. It's gonna do good for your parents. It's going to be healing. And so just do it because you know it. You know it well. And the same little flame that you had when you were 12, just go to that, you know, go to the water well of the 12-year-old Leo, because that 12-year-old Leo really knows. And so go drink from that and don't drink from anything else, because you know it. And I think as a creator, well, you know it. I mean, you're in a big space. You're on your way. And there's a lot of people that are going to do what you're doing that want to do the same thing. But be happy for them and their success, because if there's someone that you know that is having cool stuff happen to them, it just feels like it must mean that God is in the neighborhood already. And so just be happy and be ready. Just clap for them, because what's written for you is already there. If it's, no one's going to take it away. And so don't worry so much, because I promise you healing comes from this for a lot of parties involved.
Yeah. Man, I really appreciate that. I really needed that. Thank you so much for being a guest. I really appreciate it. If you're listening, thank you for listening. Please leave us a review on Apple or Spotify. That helps us make the show better. Have an awesome week. Peace.